This evening's reading is Psalms 145, and that can be found on page 602. It's headed, A Psalm of Praise of David. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name for ever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your domain endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises, and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall, and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food at their proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen.
This is my Bolivian notebook, all the way from Bolivia. That's got nothing at all to do with tonight, but it always cheers me up. Our very efficient office secretary, Heather, she sends out reminders to all of us who are involved with leading and preaching, and we have a programme that we put out, and then she puts out the notice, and here it is, and this bit is the sermon. Except when I looked at this wonderful song, I thought, I don't know, do you really want a sermon? And I didn't really want to give a sermon. In fact, when I looked up sermon, a sermon is a discourse or a harangue. There are times when I can sound a bit like that, and it is a bit discourse, but I thought tonight we would have something much more of a meditation. The theme is speaking out God's greatness. I wonder what the music was to this song that David rang. I have no idea. All the psalm just says is this is a psalm of David, and it's a psalm of praise. And in fact, the last five psalms, the last six psalms, that we have are all on the same theme of praise, praise, praising our great God. And that's what we're going to do tonight, praising God. We're going to think about God's glorious greatness And there are many words. If you've got the psalm open, take a look and look at, as we look through these. In verse 3, it talks about the fact that we can't fathom God's greatness. It is so deep, so amazing, we can never get to the depths of it. It talks about his mighty acts, his wonderful works, his majestic splendor. It talks about God's kingdom, that it is glorious, that it is everlasting. And I wonder what comes to mind when you just think about those images. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to take a break, and I'd like you to take the opportunity of just talking to somebody and maybe just thinking and talking a little bit about something that you've seen or heard or experienced recently that just makes you think about God's greatness, his graciousness, his goodness. So what comes to your mind? You think of the deeps of the sea. As I said, that greatness which we can never get to the bottom of. I'm sure you've probably, maybe many of you have seen series, the Deep Blue Sea, and the amazing things that David Attenborough explains, the glories of things that we have never ever seen, would never have the opportunity without the amazing techniques that they use as they delve down into the depths, as they see beautiful creatures that seem to have their own ability to light the darkness around them. Or maybe when you think of God's greatness and his glory and what he has done and made, you think of the glories of a sunset. Sometimes when I'm coming home in the evening, just the right time as I come up through the village and the sun is just setting, and I can see over the fields and the woods, and I just amazingly think about God's greatness, that he's created this great ball of fire, and we can see and feel its warmth, and we can see God's greatness. We thought about God's dominion. It talks about that. Maybe you think of a crown, of the power of a kingdom, of the pomp and the glory that surrounds, maybe around the royal family. And maybe that's how you think about God's greatness. Or maybe it's just something simple like going for a walk. Yesterday, Anne and I, we were walking around Nebworth with our son Richard. And this is what we saw. We went into woods and it was just a carpet of bluebells. And it was just so stunning. We just stood there all together and we looked at the bluebells. There they are in their glory. Nobody in particular has planted them or done anything with them. And yet, just for a few weeks in the springtime, the bluebells just appear. What a glorious sight. And as we walked through them, I was thinking about this evening and just thinking of God's greatness, of the way that his creations speak out of his glory. We also read in this chapter about God's goodness. And it talks about his abundant goodness. I wonder what comes to mind. Maybe a glorious table set out like a banquet feast. And you think, it's so much there, so much to eat, so much produced for us. And we think of God's abundant goodness to us. It talks about God's open hand. that God's goodness is so open through us. It talks about the fact that he satisfies our desires. He fulfills our desires. And there's part of this chapter which is completely unconditional. It says that God is good to all. It says that he fulfills the desires of every living thing, of every living creature. No matter whether the person is aware of God's goodness, of God's love, his love is still bestowed upon them. He also talks about something more conditional. He says he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He gives food at the proper time. So there's an element of God's goodness that is over all his creation and over all his people. They may be completely unaware. As we drove down, we passed the pub and there was everybody out there drinking, enjoying the warmth and the sunshine, and completely unaware of God's goodness. No thought at all. And yet God's goodness is still poured out upon them. But in a very special way, he pours out his goodness upon those who fear him, who love him, who serve him. And then there's God's graciousness, God's gentle graciousness. Those wonderful verses that Peter read out to us, that he's compassionate, that he's slow to anger, that he's rich in love, that he upholds and he lifts up. Maybe you may have an image of someone who needs rescuing, somebody who needs to be lifted up, somebody who's under great burden. And God does that for all of us. It says that he comes near to us, that he hears our cry, that in his graciousness he saves us and he watches over us. A little bit later on we'll come to the table and remember particularly God's graciousness to us, his grace given out to those who don't deserve it, who did nothing special, who didn't love him, who had disobeyed him, and yet God still sent his grace and showed his grace by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to us. And again, it says that God's graciousness comes to all he has made. He upholds all those who fall. He lifts all those who are bowed down. His graciousness is not limited. And yet at the same time, it says that he is near to those who call on him, so that those who recognize their need, when we ourselves have recognized that we need God's grace, we need God's mercy, he hears and he listens to us. And that he watches over those who love him. What an amazing God. Amazing pictures. What I'd like you to do is just to talk to someone near you. Think about something, as I said, something, it doesn't have to be something great, it could be something very ordinary, but something that has happened recently, something that make you think of God's greatness, of God's goodness, or of God's graciousness. We've been thinking in our home groups, again, about the whole life worship. And one of the things that really struck me as we were looking at it this last week was a question about how we really encourage each other to worship. We come together We pray, we worship separately, we come together and we worship. And it actually is the responsibility that we all hold to worship and to encourage each other to worship. So let's take the opportunity of actually encouraging each other now to worship by just thinking about God's greatness, God's goodness, and God's graciousness, just for a few minutes. Well, I can see that there have been opportunities to share with each other. There will be an opportunity again later on. Our prayer ministry team is here, and as we do, particularly during the time when we commune together and meet around God's table, we take a particular opportunity to pray for one another. And there may be things on your heart, things that you particularly need. But it may just be that, don't say just, it may be just another opportunity. Like, I'd really like to tell somebody about God's goodness, about something that's happened, something that's been good. It doesn't always have to be about prayers that we have for needs. They can also be just prayers of thanksgiving. This psalm is full of individual prayer. David said, "My mouth will speak." He says, "I will exalt you." He says, "I will praise your name." He says, "Every day I will praise you. I will meditate, I will think about you. And I will proclaim your goodness, your greatness, your glory." And so it's full of individual actions, individual prayers and praise, and that's what we can do. And there's so many opportunities. Some of you will know that because of my diabetes, I've been recommended not to drive, and I haven't driven now since the end of August last year. It's been very frustrating. But there have been opportunities. I now spend an hour on the bus every day. And that's given me, it's given me an hour to read, to study, and just to look. And that opportunity, and while I'm on the bus, I can actually look, and we drive a lot of the time through the Hertfordshire countryside, and I can look and see, I can see it as the seasons change, and I have the opportunity to thank God and to praise his name, even while we're rattling along in a Hertfordshire bus. But there's also encouragement here to praise together. I love the picture of the generations. One generation will tell another generation. And as that goes through the generations, we were reminded this morning, weren't we, again, about telling our children, telling our grandchildren, about sharing the praise of God with the generations, that we commend God to each other, that we tell of his power, that we speak of his splendor to one another. And then it also says that your faithful people extol you. So even though we may not feel faithful at times, we sung about God's complete faithfulness, but we, his people, here we worship and we praise together. And then there's that element, as I've already mentioned, how that everybody, all will praise. It says, so that all people may know of your mighty acts. He says, the eyes of all look on you. He says, let every people praise his holy name. And he said, all your works praise you. And we know that one day, every knee will bow. For some it will be willing, and for some it will be unwilling, but they will still bow. So those who have no thought of God at all will one day acknowledge his greatness. Now, of course, David, as all of the Jews, believed in one God. He brought his praise and his worship to Yahweh. We, in just a few minutes, we remember the triune God as we meet around the table. We remember God the Father, and we praise God the Father, who loved us so much that he sent God the Son. And we remember that God the Son gave his life for us. He loved us so much, he obeyed the word of the Father. And we also remember that the Lord Jesus Christ taught us about the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. And also we praise and worship the Spirit, and through the Spirit, as we think about his work in us and in creation.